Blog Talk Radio.
The following program is a production of Turning Leaf Radio Network, Altoona, Pennsylvania.
Good day, family. Thank you for tuning in to Out of the Darkness We Rise, and I will be your host for today. My name is Mary Mims. I am a grateful, recovering alcoholic and addict saved by the grace of God, and I'm so grateful to be here with you all today. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I am so happy to be in the land of the living because, you know, a lot of folks didn't see the sun rise this morning, but His grace and mercy has found fit for us to be here this morning, and that's enough to give Him praise. You know, that is enough for us to praise His name. And I just want to also let you know that I have a co-star on the line with me today. His name is Keith. He's a powerful, anointed man of God, and he's willing to share his strength, hope, and knowledge with us on the line today. Keith, are you there?
Yeah, I am. How you doing, Mary?
Okay, you want to just introduce yourself and say hello to the people?
Yeah, my name is Keith Roten. Good morning, everybody, and I'm just going to be the co-host today and help Marion out, be with her along with the show. And it's going to be a great experience for me, and I'm glad to be here and have the opportunity to be able to share with you some of my experience, strength, and hope, and I hope that I can be of help and service to someone out there.
Amen. Praise God. Okay, so family, you know, I'm going to just make a few suggestions like I normally do. We will be going over some scriptures. So I suggest that you may want to grab your Bible or pen or paper because we'll be going through these scriptures kind of quickly, and you can write them down and meditate on them later because the Word of God says faith comes by hearing. So the more you hear the Word of God, the stronger you will become. You can use these scriptures to meditate on them later. Okay, so Keith, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start off reading a little bit out of a recovery book, and it's titled, Who is an Addict? And, you know, when I read this this chapter, it really opened my eyes to a lot of things, so I just want to share this with you this morning.
Okay.
It's titled, Who is an Addict? And it says here, most of us do not have to think twice about this question. We know our whole life and thinking was centered in drugs in one form or another, the getting and using and finding ways and means to get more. We live to use and use to live. So very simply, an addict is a man or woman whose life is controlled by drugs. We are people in the grip of a continual and progressive illness whose ends are always the same, jails, institutions, and death. You see, we as addicts, we are people whose use of any mind-altering, mood-changing substances causes a problem in any area of our life. Addiction is a disease that involves more than the use of drugs. Some of us believe that our disease was present long before the first time we used. Most of us did not consider ourselves addicted before coming into a program of recovery. The information available to us came from misinformed people. As long as we could stop using for a while, we thought we were all right. We looked at the stopping, not the using. As our addiction progressed, we thought of stopping less and less. Only in desperation did we ask ourselves, could it be the drugs? So it says, we did not choose to become addicts. We suffer from a disease that expresses itself in ways that are antisocial and that makes detection, diagnosis, and treatment difficult. Our disease isolates us from people except when we were getting, using, and finding ways and means to get more. Hostility, resentful, self-centered, self-seeking, we cut ourselves off from the outside world. And anything not completely familiar became alien and dangerous. Our world shrank and isolation became our life. We used in order to survive. It was the only way of life that we knew how. You know, and when I read this, it made me question myself over and over again. You know, could it be the drugs? Could it be the drugs? And I came to the conclusion that, yes, definitely it was the drugs. But, you know, the drugs, the truth of the matter is that the drugs was just a symptom of my problem. There was a lot of underlying causes and effects that caused me to feel that I need to put a drug or, you know, any type of substance in my body to change the way I feel. I never, you know, always wanted to be someone else beside myself. Always felt unhappy, depressed, and sad about a lot of things that was going on in my life. But, you know, we're here today to encourage anyone out there that is going through any type of trials or tribulations. You know, I just want to let you know that no matter what has happened in your life, no matter how far down the scale you have gone, no matter how deep in the pit you are, you know, God can help us. We're never too far gone that God can't help us. And the thing about this is that we don't have to wait till we think that things are right for us to approach God. You see, the Word of God says, come as you are. So therefore, God, he's not looking for anything from us besides our praise. So it doesn't matter if you are a dope dealer, a prostitute, or a pimp, or, you know, whatever the case may be. He just wants us, you know, to praise him and to come to him. We don't have to clean ourselves up first. And all that bad stuff in our lives that has taken place, we can go straight to God and reveal what's going on by us. So don't feel that you have done something so bad in your life that God will not accept you. You know, we don't ever have to feel as though we're not right yet, because when Jesus died on the cross, his righteousness made us right. So it doesn't matter how long we have been in this affliction. It doesn't matter how long we have done the same insane things over and over and over again. We're never too far down in the pit where God cannot reach us. You know, and the good thing about it, that his love for us, family, is not based on our performance. It has nothing to do with what we did, and it has nothing to do with what we did not do. It's strictly based on his love for us, you know, that we have the opportunity to go before him just as we are, and he will save us. You know, even the scripture says, come as you are. You know, but when we come as we are, we won't stay the same, because God is working. He's working in all the believers' lives, and he will change us. You know, as we come to him, he will begin to make changes in our lives. So the first scripture that I want to go over with you will be found in the book of Matthew, and that's Matthew verse 11:28. And, you know, we need to put our trust in Christ, because here it says in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So, you know, I can truly tell you there was times in my life that I was so weak and weary, and I didn't know where to turn to. But, you know, once I came to the Lord and I laid down my burdens, I began to receive that rest that I was looking for. And in John 6, verse 37, it also says here, everyone whom the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never send away. So that's telling us that no matter what our past has been like, no matter what we have done, he will not reject us. He will receive all those that come to him, will be received by him. It has nothing to do with the works we have done and the works we didn't done. His arms are wide open for us to come into him. And also, in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, it says, come now, let's settle this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, I will make them as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, I will make them as white as wool. So now, family, this scripture here says, come now. Now is the time. You know, yesterday is gone. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. So, therefore, all we have is this day. So we can come as we are. Because it says, though our sins are like scarlet, he will wash us white as snow. So we don't have to wait until we feel as though everything is okay. Keith, would you like to add something to that?
Yeah. Yeah, sure. You know, just like you said, you know, God wants us to come to him just as we are, you know, and take our burdens, because his burdens are light and his yoke is easy.
Yes,
you know, and, you know, that's speaking to me in a way to where, you know, God's not going to give us no more than we can handle. And,
absolutely.
You know, he's not going to he's going to carry us through whatever circumstances and situations that we're going through. Because his burdens is light. Nothing that he's asking of us is hard. It's all we have to do is, like, he's working and asking us to be obedient to him. And that's very right. You know, it's very true in sense, in all essence.
Yes. Okay, so also now, you know, once we come to God, we must have faith. It doesn't matter how much faith we have, but we do have to have some faith. Even if it's the size of a mustard seed, God can work with that because, you know, true faith will change our life. And once we have true faith in God, things will begin to happen in our life. He will do things for us that we cannot do for ourselves. So when we have faith in God, sometimes it requires renewing our mind. You know, we can't think about certain situations the way we used to think because sometimes we'll be like, oh, I'll never get that job. I'll never find a wife. I'll never have children. I'll never be worthy. I'll never be a productive member of society. But as long as you think that way, you know, you'll bring in bad karma. You have to be positive. You have to be expecting God's blessing and favor over your life. So I would like to present to you 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. So it says here, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So we can leave our past behind. You know, like we spoke about earlier, it doesn't matter how far in the pit we are, no matter how many times we've been in and out of jails and institutions, you know, every day is a new day of God's grace and mercy. So when we come to God, we are a new creature. The old us is dead and gone, and God is doing new things in our lives. All things are made new. And I know a lot of times we feel unworthy and we don't feel that way, but I want to give you another scripture here, and this is 1 Corinthians 6 and 11. And it says here, and that is what some of you were, but you were washed, you were sacrificed, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So you see, when we come unto God and we ask him and we lay our burdens down, he washes us, he sanctify us, and he justify us in the name of the Lord. You know, so that is good to have in your spirit. And also, I just want to mention that God will work in us to conform us into his image. You know, some of us grow slower than others, but true believers will bear fruit. It says here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of the very thing that he, which had begun a good work in us, will perform until the day Jesus Christ come. So when God promises something, you know, have faith that he will see that it comes to pass. You know, a lot of us have visions, and because of our situations, we feel stagnated, like it won't, you know, work out according to God's will. But, you know, the truth of the matter is that our destiny has been preordained from the beginning of life. So whatever God has promised us, rest assured that it will surely come to pass. You know, delay does not mean denied. You know, you may have wanted to go back to college, and there's been some bumps in the road that prevented you from going to college. That doesn't mean that that's not part of God's plan for you. Those dreams can still come to pass. You know, I declare and decree on today that whatever has been dormant in our lives will be awakened on this very day. The Lord will perfect everything that concerns us. And the last scripture I want to read before I turn it over to my brother is that the scripture also tells us, which I believe is very important, it teaches us to deny ourselves. Here in Luke 14 and 27, it says, whoever does not carry his own cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. Wow, that's very powerful, Keith. You know, and what that tells me is that as long as I try to do things on my own accord and think that everything happens by my power and by my strength, you know, I don't leave any room for God's will to take place in my life. When I cover up all my sin and all my hurt and pain and the things that I've done to other people and things that I've done to myself, you know, the power of God cannot come into my life and take over. When we keep things covered up, we don't give it a chance to heal. So God wants us to uncover those things. That's our burdens. That's how we lay our burdens down. We come to him and we tell him everything. We don't hide anything because it says he that covers his sin will not prosper. So as long as we walk around with big pride and big egos and think we got everything all figured out, we don't leave room for our God to have any effect on us. So it says that those who does not carry his own cross cannot follow me. So in order for me to carry my cross, I have to be responsible for the things that I've done. I have to admit those things that I've done and try to correct those things. And that's when the power of Christ will rest upon me. So all of my weakness, you know, once I turn my will and my life over to God, his power will rest upon me. And before I know it, and any of you know it, God will start to do things in our lives that we thought we could never, ever do. So whatever we think we're doing in secret, it's really not a secret. Because God is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning and the end. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we stand up. He even knows how many hairs are on our head. So the truth of the matter is there's nothing that we can hide from God. He knows all. He sees all. Unlike man, we can only see with 20/20 vision. But God, he sees it all. Like I said, he's the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the beginning and the end. And Keith?
Yeah?
Would you like to share with the people today? Tell them about your, you know, experience, strength, and hope, whatever God has put on your heart.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Keith, I'm grateful to be here today, grateful to be here this morning. And, you know, something good that you were saying, you know, going towards the end,
yeah.
Something just came to my mind is that here we can at least see clearly to ourselves, not as the giant of our dreams, nor the dwarf of our fears,
yeah.
but as a person, part of a whole that's sharing his purpose. And each and every one, you know, that's out there, I truly believe that God has a purpose for them.
Absolutely.
No matter what state of mind, heart, body, and soul that they're in, God has truly called them and asked them and believing for their direction and is able to give them direction in their lives. If, like you said, the Bible says, Jesus was talking to many people, if you only believe, because it's your faith that's going to make you whole, you know. So I truly believe that we need to continue to strengthen and ask God for our faith, and our faith is just our faith is just believing in God, having that belief in God, because God is faith, you know. God had faith, I mean, because when God created the earth and created man and everything that he brought forth in the universe, he had faith that it was going to, that his will and purpose was going to be accomplished for these things taking place that he created, you know, and that he made and he formed. And I believe that God's grace and mercy is constantly renewed in our lives every day.
Hallelujah.
You know, and as God's grace and mercy is renewed in our lives, then that gives us an opportunity and gives us a chance to continue to flow in the goodness and grace of God, you know, as we go throughout our day, and his mercy that wakes us up in the morning and allows us to say, hey, look, this is a brand new day. I'm going to go forth, you know what I'm saying, and I'm going to do the best that I can do today.
That's
I'll do my best. And the bottom line in the story is, like, we do our best, and God does the rest, you know, in our lives. And I'm just grateful to be here because, you know, I know before I came into the program, I know before I really came, you know, to AA, and I got a relationship with God. You know, my life was beyond human recall. You know, I had no direction, I had no hope, no purpose, no meaning. I was just a nothing and a nobody. And people looked at me as an outcast of society and said that I'll never amount to nothing. But there was a God not only that pulled a chronic alcoholic and addict like me back from the gates of death, but He also put my life back together because it was broken and shambled in pieces. You know, I was like, I was basically like Humpty Dumpty that fell off the wall and had a great fall. You know, I mean, people have really tried to, you know, put an egg back together when it hits the ground. You're getting ready to cook some eggs on the stove, and the egg falls out of your hand and it butt crashes.
Right.
I mean, I'm really willing to try to, you know, pick it up and put it back together. I mean, it's like a puzzle. You know, and it's impossible. It's difficult. You know, it'd be very tedious. You have to spend much time, you know, examining it and looking at it and seeing, you know, what you can do with it. But with God, I mean, it's in an instant. He knows every broken fragment, as you were speaking on earlier.
Yeah.
You know, that he knows every broken fragment of our lives. You know, he has the plan and purpose. He knows what we're going to do, when we're going to do it. And he knows how to clean up. Bottom line in the story,
right.
God knows how to clean up our mess.
Yes, he does.
You know, God overlooks many situations in our lives, absolutely, and he covers, thank God, for the blood of Jesus, because he is the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all unrighteousness, because when God looks over us as our shortcomings, he looks over us and he sees us through nothing but his son's blood. He sees his son's blood on us.
Right.
And as he called us and appointed us, and as we receive him as our Lord and Savior, that's that means that we're a marked people.
Yes, Lord.
And so, you know, I'm grateful for that. And I just want to, you know, share today that, you know, I've been through a lot of things in my life, you know.
Keith, just for 1 second, if you get a chance, could you also enlighten them about how God has used people in the Bible? I know there's a couple of saints in the Bible that lives wasn't all on track. If you get a moment, could you just, like, share a little bit of your thoughts on that, too?
Yeah, sure, I could do that. You know, a lot of times I have to refer back to the, you know, Old Testament, and looking at, you know, many men in the Testament that went through circumstances and situations, you know. God is able in different, as he commands Joshua to go, and just like, for instance, to fight the battle of Ai, he told him don't take any of the gold, any of the treasures, or anything like that from the place. And some of his men took the treasure and they took the gold, and you know, they defeated Ai, and he took the gold and took the treasure, and they hid it in the camp. You know what I mean? So when they hid it in the camp, they went back out to battle in the war again, and they began to be defeated.
Mm-hmm.
And Joshua was saying, "Man, why are we defeated, oh God? I mean, what's going on?" And that's because why? Sin was in the camp.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that's how our lives are. You know, the drugs, the alcohol, the shortcomings of our lives, things that we think we got hidden, is like secret sin, you know, and God can't work through that. You know, it's like we block ourselves from the sunlight of the Spirit when we're holding on to anger and bitterness and jealousy and malice and prejudiceness, those character defects and those things, because why? It's not God's character. God's character is love, purity, honesty, hope, you know, goodness, kindness, brotherly love. And he says to love thy neighbor as I love thyself. So when we get rid of these secret things, there's a step in the big book, or step 4, which means we took inventory and we took stock, you know, and when we took the inventory and stock and got it out on paper, we could clearly see to ourselves the sickness that was, you know, in us from against people, places, and things and situations. So step 5, as we admitted ourselves and our faults to one another, then we begin to turn it over to God, and he began to turn the soil in our souls and of our souls, he begins to turn that and toil that and begin to move the weeds and all the sinew from the spoiled water, from the rotten water, you know. You ever seen some rivers that are just, you know, lakes that are polluted? So he gets rid of all the pollution and begins to pour his water in, and that's with and through, as I study in and getting where we need to get, studying and learning and growing, you know, by reading the Word of God or going to church and continue to go into meetings and rebuilding and getting fresh water. You know, I heard Mary speak, you know, about, you know, we so to speak, we're misinformed by misinformed people. We've been misinformed by misinformed people all our lives. So we get new information, and we get that through the study of not only the Word, in prayer, but in different meetings too as well. And I believe that's one of the great things of being not only born again, but being a new creation is, therefore, as Mary had mentioned, you know, therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. So being a new creature, we get new gifts. We get new talents, we get new desires, and we begin to get a new discovery on who we really are, you know. And so we should not have no fear of that. But as we go along in life, a lot of times, you know, things are going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's things are going to take place in our lives. And I was just reading myself in the book of Matthew, book of Matthew, chapter 8, verse 23, where it talks about the disciples and when they were in the storms of life, when they were in the boat, and the storms and the waves came, and they woke Jesus up, and he calmed the storm. But I believe the key there is what they're talking about is calming the storm. and calming the storms in our life, you know. And a lot of times, all kinds of storms come in our life, you know. And I believe that many kinds of storms come in our life, you know. There's the storms, there's financial storms, mm-hmm. you know. There's implosive storms, there's silent storms, there's explosive storms, communication storms. You know, we stop communicating with our spouse or our person or different people, and things are building up, you know, coming into resentments or whatnot. The financial storms, we don't got enough money, and, you know, how are we going to make our bills and make our ends meet? And we begin to get silent about it. And if we don't call out to God, you know, it becomes implosive, which means an inner irritableness, restless, and discontentment. And until we call out to God, you know, to help us with that through the storms, then the storms will stay, and we begin to not only lean to our own understanding.
Yes.
You know, it says, Bible says, don't lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me. But the big book also says we start to leave it to our own devices. You know, these problems of ours pile up on us. So they can, even while we're saved and even while we know God and have a relationship with Him, these things can still pile up on us if we don't continue to surrender on a daily basis and keep our house, you know, our bodies, our inside, you know, in a great spiritual maintenance. We got a maintenance condition in our lives. So, you know, and when we go through these storms, you know, I believe that God allowed the storm at that time to come because, you know, He knew that the disciples would call up on him, and he had to,
that's right.
As the disciples called up on him, you know, their faith was puny, you know, and their mindset in the storm, and they called up on him because they felt helpless, you know. And you got to remember that these disciples, they fished for years. It was their business. They've been in many storms out there on the water and in their own boats, and, you know, so they was really able to either go inside of a cabinet or use some kind of tools and different things like that to weather the storm, to push through it. And they were out of their comfort zone. You know, they had no supplies, they had nothing, no shelter, no anything, but they had a secret weapon in the boat, and that was Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
You know, and what he did is they called up on him, and he had all power, so they were powerless, you know, against people. We are, in our lives, a lot of times, we're powerless over people, places, things, and situations, and they were powerless, so they called upon the ultimate power, yeah. which was Jesus that was in the boat with him. And he calmed, and Jesus said, oh, ye a little faith, and, you know, and then he calmed the storm.
Hallelujah.
You know, he spoke to the storm that was in their life, and not only the storm on the outside, but he was speaking to the other storm that was on the inside of them, because they became full of fear,
oh.
And fear began to govern them. They began to take their eyes off, you know, any solution around them, but they did understand to a certain degree that the solution was right there in the boat with them,
mm-hmm.
and that's what they called on. So a lot of things rearose once again up on them and resurrected within them. So, and it's just like our lives today, you know, there's a lot of things that can resurrect in our lives, you know. We can re-resurrect our past, you know, the past hurts and pains and things, anguish and things that we've been through. And so, anyway, and with that, but we can continue to be more than conquerors. And the Bible says that we're more than conquerors, you know, in Christ that dwells in us. And, you know, it's all about the mindset. The Bible says, he who mind is stayed upon me should be stayed in perfect peace.
Right.
So that's what we want to look for through the storms, calling out on God and looking for the peace that God brings us, to know that he's got everything and he's in full control, you know, and that we can't. So I just want to say that, and thanks for letting me share.
Wow, Keith, that was such a powerful, anointed word of God. And I know God has put more in your spirit to share with us. And, you know, I'm hoping that you will come back and share the rest of that testimony with us on Monday night. Do you think that's possible? Because I'm really looking forward to hearing the rest of that. That was very powerful.
Yeah, sure. Sure, not a problem.
So, family, tune in for part two of The Storms in Your Life with Keith. He will be doing the show Monday night. And, Keith, you and I will get together and decide what time will be best for you, because that's a very important topic, and I believe that it could help a lot of people. So, family, look forward to hearing from our brother Keith Monday night the storms in our life. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in for Out of the Darkness. We rise with your host, Mary Mims, and co-host Keith. If you have any questions or concerns, feel free to hit me up on Facebook. Send me an email. We thank God for each and every one of your lives. May the peace of God be your portion throughout the day, and we look forward to seeing you all next week. This is Mary Mims with Out of the Darkness signing off. God bless you all. I'll talk to you later, Keith.
Okay. All right, bye.